I just want to introduce myself just real quick. So I'm a nobody, really. I'm just a math teacher in New York here, and I really loved your game, and it's the first time I'm interviewing anybody or anything like this.
All right, cool. Right? So, you know, it's the first time anyone's interviewed me about this game.
Okay.
I don't normally do this kind of thing, but
yeah. Okay.
So we're both new.
All right, cool. I really love this game. What inspired you to make a game like this?
It's hard to pinpoint. Like, a lot of the time with my games that I make, like of this kind of scale, it's just like a mechanic that comes first. In this case, especially, like, I just thought, like, I just had this idea of something like a shoot 'em up, where you just like tap one button and that was it. Like, that just kind of popped into my head and I was like, oh, that could really work really well. So I just chucked in like, you know, like a square into Unity and like have it shooting other squares that are coming down from the top. And it wasn't like, I don't know, like it's a weird thing. Like, I can't really explain where that came from. It just kind of popped into my head and I tried it and it worked and it was cool. And I liked it. So then it was kind of more of a case of like building up around that, you know, what is a square? It's probably a ship. It's probably shooting aliens.
Oh, wow.
And the more I did that, like, you know, it's not anything crazy and out there, but the more I did that, the more it kind of, made sense to introduce other elements, like, you know, kind of what the aliens are and how they behave and that sort of stuff. Yeah, but I mean, I don't even really play a lot of shoot 'em ups.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Like,
really? Because the next question I was going to ask you is like, what other games in the genre did you play growing up that really, you know, kind of like, we could probably see some elements from those games in here?
Right.
Because, when I was playing it, I definitely felt a lot of those older style games.
Yeah.
You know, like those elements were definitely in there. And
it wasn't something that I kind of set out to emulate. It was just kind of, it just happened naturally. And it wasn't like I started out by going, I really want to make a game that's like all these games that I loved as a kid, because I just didn't really play that many. I played like Galaga and like Space Invaders and, you know, like all the big ones, but I wouldn't say by any means that I was an enthusiast about them. Like, they were just kind of stuff that I played because like my friend had them on a disc somewhere or something like that.
Sure.
And, you know, they were bundled in with loads of other kinds of games. So I'm probably disappointing loads of people that play Switch and Shoot now, but
not at all. You know, inspiration comes in so many different ways. And it was really interesting to hear how yours came from just, you know, just this one idea. That one button click, it works so tremendously well. Like, I can't believe I could play such a game with just one button.
Right? Yeah.
That kind of blew me away. Like, the first one with Flappy Bird, you know, like, that one button game, so arcadey, so perfect. It spoke to me in so many ways, you know.
Right,
that one blew up really big, but this one is very similar. It gives me like a really good feeling when I play it, you know. Exactly what I want to feel. And so I haven't played it on Steam as yet, but the one button, I could see how that could work really well on a PC display, on a display, period. But on the phone, which is where I've been kind of playing it for now, don't worry, I'm going to buy it on Steam soon. it works really well on there.
That was something, that was another thing that actually didn't come first. Like, you know, I never set out to make a mobile game. It's just that it fit really well for mobile and ended up kind of steering towards a lot of those kind of design conventions, like Flappy Bird, for example. I would say games like Flappy Bird and like Crossy Road and stuff like that were more of an influence on it than a lot of those old arcade games. Like, you look at it and it has the appearance of an old arcade game,
right?
But it plays a lot more like a modern mobile game.
Yeah. I would say it plays like a older shoot 'em up as well.
Would you say?
Yeah.
Somewhere between the two.
Yeah, definitely. Like I don't know, you found that right balance. It was just it's so well done. Anything that the average eye would miss from seeing this game that was special to you, that you kind of, it's in there but you don't think other people might see it?
Well, there's a lot of little kind of nuances to behaviors, which I guess you might not immediately pick up on, but like I did a lot of tuning, just getting the feeling just right of things like the size and shape of the collision with your ship and the aliens and the power ups, like getting them to be just leaning on the side of being generous to the player, so that if you just skim past the power up and you just about touch it, then you get it.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
But if you do the same thing to an alien, it kind of lets you through. Okay. So like that's a lot of stuff that, well, I mean, like that's nothing new. That's kind of come from like, you know, Super Mario Brothers was doing that, and it's just kind of smoothing off those edges so players don't get annoyed when pixel perfect collision doesn't work in their favor.
Yeah.
Like I'd always just kind of
absolutely
be nice to the player.
I've had many bad memories of games where the collision detection it was just really bad. But that was back in those days. I don't even remember those games anymore.
Right.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's something I wouldn't have thought of, for sure. Did you build the game completely by yourself, with music and everything?
Not the music. The music actually was from the Unity Asset Store. Okay. It's just something I found on there, and I was like, wow, this is like a perfect fit. And
I would thought that you had designed that around the game, but wow.
Yeah, no, not at all, no. Yeah, the game started out silent, and then I looked for some free music, and there it was, and I was like, huh, like, yep, absolutely perfect, spot on. Yeah. So I just kept it.
No kidding.
But no, it's by a Japanese musician called Moppy Sound.
I'm going to have to look him up now.
Because
I was so feeling those tunes. Anyway.
They're great. Yeah. And then the only other thing which I didn't do was the illustration on the sides. That's by a friend of mine called Paul Duffield, and he's a professional illustrator. Known him since college, and got in touch and asked him if he would be up for doing some artwork to go in the sides, like to get this kind of arcade cabinet feel. So yeah, I can't take credit for that. He did an awesome job there. But yeah, everything else was me, the pixel art I did, and all the scripting and sound effects and all that stuff.
Wow. Did you go to school for computer programming or like game design or anything like that?
Yeah, I did. Well, that's not where I started. I actually was making games since, I guess, kind of, well, I started out making like levels for StarCraft and Half-Life 1 and that kind of stuff in like kind of late 90s, and just did it like as a hobbyist for a long time. But then at some point I kind of had to figure out what I was going to do with my life, and realize that you can get paid to make games for a living. And I was like, that sounded really cool.
Wow.
So yeah. I went to University of East London and studied game design. And it also kind of had a focus on writing for games. So we did like some writing modules too.
I didn't even know such a program really existed like that. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of the first, if not the first, that had that focus that I'm aware of. And it's still quite uncommon to see that kind of split. A lot of them are, you know, focused heavily on programming or art and animation. But yeah, that really appealed to me, because like I was making a lot of kind of RPGs as well back at the time. Like I used to use RPG Maker a lot. That was where I really kind of cut my teeth and learned the basics of scripting. So yeah, I had kind of like, I had about 10 years experience as a hobbyist first.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then I studied it to kind of get like really prepared for a job in it.
You know, I've heard a similar story. And it was recently I've heard it too from another interview, where they kind of started off like, you know, just as a hobby, making mods, and then like, you know, that's what really built up like that type of skill. I really can't recall the name of that developer, whoever it was, but yeah,
I'm sure a lot of people have had a similar path into it, because it's like you've got all these free tools there.
Yeah,
you know, like I'm sure a lot of people have the same experience as me, where it's like I didn't even know I wanted to make games. I remember going into a shop, finding Half-Life, and looking on the back of the box, and there was a little tab at the bottom that it said like comes with Worldcraft, it was called then, it's now called Hammer. It said like comes with Worldcraft for free, like make your own levels. And I was like, that sounds awesome. Like I want to do that. I want to, like, that was kind of half the reason I bought the game in the first place, was because I could make levels for it.
Yeah.
So I just kind of got stuck in and
wow,
and started doing it, and like it's there for free, you know. Well, not for free, you have to buy the game, but
yeah
you get the free tools with it. And so I'm guessing a lot of people had that same experience.
Yeah, I would assume so. You see, I always stayed away from those build your own thing. I've never been about that. I just want to get the experience. Any chance of this coming to iPhone or consoles?
You know, it's hard to say, like, because I'm working with very limited time, like it's very much a side project. And I've never developed for Mac personally. I don't own a Mac. I don't own an iPhone. I use Android.
Yeah.
So like, it's a huge step for me to do that. Like it's something I would like to do, because I just like getting it, you know, as widely available as possible.
Yeah.
But I'm also aware that there's a huge investment of time and energy into doing that. So
sure.
I've always kind of said, you know, if it's popular on Android, then I'll consider iPhone.
Makes sense.
It's just a big maybe right now.
Yeah.
And the same goes for consoles, really. Yeah.
I had no idea you were doing the Oddworld thing, because, you know, I was really just playing the game.
Right, yeah.
And so then when I looked you up on Twitter, I saw that you were what exactly are you doing with Oddworld?
So right now I'm doing level design on the new Soulstorm. And then I was also the designer on New and Tasty.
Oh, really? Were you?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I had that game. I have yet to play it, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I love the original Oddworlds. I know, like, I know the game license has switched hands a few times and such. Any big names in the game industry you're working with in that scene?
Well, I mean, the biggest one is Lorne Lanning, who is the creator of Oddworld. He was the original sort of creative director, came up with Abe, came up with Oddworld, the idea behind it. I work with him on a daily basis. We also, I'm not sure which other names I'm allowed to mention are involved right now. So I probably have to leave it at that. There are some very talented people I'm working with on a daily basis. So that's really awesome to be involved with.
I just can't wait to see, you know, what else you have to bring to the table. Do you have any more, any other side games like you did with Twitch and Shoot?
I have too many side games.
any that you kind of released to the public?
Kind of. I'm also working on a game called Luminesca, which has been in development for a really long time and is kind of, it's had quite an up and down development. First started it in like 2011, and it's just gone through a few iterations, and in the end, I ended up having to kind of just put it on hiatus because I had to focus on New and Tasty,
right.
Devote a lot of my time to that. So I kind of shelved it for a little while. And I'm now sort of thinking of some more ways I could return to that and mm-hmm. things I could do with it. It's a really difficult one. But
what
I do
genre?
Want to finish it. It's kind of, I mean, it was kind of inspired by Oddworld a little bit. It's 2D side-scrolling exploration game. It's all set underwater. And you play as a little creature with a light stalk on its head, you know, like a kind of anglerfish.
Uh-huh.
And you can shine this light around, shine it on other creatures to lure them towards you and solve puzzles and explore and find secret things hidden in the dark.
Sounds kind of like that level from Donkey Kong Country 2 or 1. I'm not sure if you know the one where that there's that fish with the light, and you kind of need the fish with the light to see your way.
Yeah, kind of like that. Kind of like there's some, let me think. Was it Rayman? Rayman Legends, I think, does some cool stuff with underwater light creatures and things like that.
I've only played the first few levels, and I kind of put that one down.
All right,
For the more indie titles.
Yeah, but they did some really cool stuff.
Sounds so interesting. I hope you continue. Don't let that one go, because if the quality of the game is anything like Switch and Shoot, I can't wait for it. Like, I really just can't.
Thanks very much. It's very different. Like, you know, Switch and Shoot is kind of like super hardcore, like super twitch timing, pixel perfect challenge kind of game. But Luminesca is like the polar opposite of that. And it's really chilled out, really slow paced. Like, there's almost no kind of challenge. You can't die. It's just about sort of finding cool stuff and playing around and poking it and seeing what happens. I mean, I'm going to come back to it and I'm going to finish it. It's just a case of like how and when. And so that's like really eating away at the back of my mind like for the last few years. But it's going to get there eventually.
Thank you for the time.
Thank you for your time.
If there's anything else you want to say, say it now. If not,
if people like Switch and Shoot, like, I just really appreciate people spreading the word, because, you know, I'm one guy,
right?
I don't have any kind of marketing budget or anything like that. So, if you like it, just tell a friend and I hope people like it.
Yeah. I know people like it.